The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. BillCurryFord.com. Start shopping there today.
No Sunday bagel. I'm veering away from my standard fare. Michael Thomas rips this team a new one every time he's healthy. How the hell does that happen?
Buccaneers fans, you have the opportunity to hang out with Ira Kaufman on Sunday at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, just south of Ulmerton Road. You can watch the game with Ira. Bucks Saints, what could be better? Outdoor covered seating, Florida's best craft beer, an amazing menu, indoor seating if you want to sit inside and enjoy their glorious tap room. It is a great time. Bucks fans, come on out. Ira will be there about 12:15. He'll have food in front of him by 12:30. Kickoff is at 1 o'clock. Sage will be mingling. Ira, are you ready? Are you dieting to prepare for Sunday? What's going on?
Not only am I ready, Steve, I'm making a huge adjustment. I'm foregoing my Sunday bagel. All I'm having is a cup of coffee at about 9 a.m., get ready to leave about 11:30, and I want an empty stomach so I can sample as many things on that Big Storm menu. They might have a couple of new items, a couple of new wrinkles to throw at me, and Lee knows if you're sitting at my table, whatever you order, I'm getting a piece of that too. Steve, no Sunday bagel. I'm veering away from my standard fare because I'm going in there ready to feast, just as the Bucks are going into the Superdome, ready to feast. And Lee, I want to throw this out at you right now. We got the number one announcing team, at least as it stands right now, Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olsen, former Buck killer, as a tight end for the Panthers. And you know what, Lee? You know what strikes me? When your number one team is Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olsen, you ain't that strong, Lee. You ain't that strong.
I just don't buy this, you know. Oh, my God, the number one team. I've got to watch football because Joe Buck's behind the mic. As long as it's not Gus Johnson screaming at me, I don't give a damn who's announcing. Or Paul Porter. Sorry, Paul, your shtick doesn't work for me. I can't stand people that yell, and I'm yelling right now. But me personally, I can't stand it. I just want to watch the freaking game.
I've said it before, Steve. I'll say it again. I don't know anybody that watches an NFL game because of the announcing team, or doesn't watch an NFL game because of the announcing team.
An announcer can chase you away, but I don't think an announcer can bring you to the game. Football fans, they don't care. They don't care who's announced it. Just give me the damn game. That's what they care about.
And Steve, if you don't like the crew, you turn the volume down.
All right, Ari, I'm fired up, and fans who obviously cannot make it out there, get to BigStormBrewery.com, look at all their beers, their great beers, the Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA, and find where to buy it. And of course, there are other tap rooms, Pasco County right there off State Road 54, Cape Coral, Orlando, Big Storm Beer. All right, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is here. Lee DeCamper's here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. All the fun. Not the fun on Sunday, Ira, but the fun now is presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he is ready. He is host of the Best in Class podcast, which is back at JoeBucksFan.com after Sean's trip out of town. And of course, the most important thing is Bill Curry Ford has been there for you 61 years. You can order your 2023 right there online. It's so easy. Sean's going to give you $500 just to do it. Get your nationwide lifetime warranty on your new vehicle and your used vehicles at Bill Curry Ford. Don't settle. Choose the color, whatever you want, right there at BillCurryFord.com. They've got concierge service to make it really easy. Or head into the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Bill Curry Ford. Sage drives his 2020 cherry red Ford Escape, which he just brought in for some service. Lee's got his F-150 there, and I've got my used Subaru still humming along there, which I bought at Bill Curry Ford. Very exciting times, Ira. Very exciting game coming up. This is it. This is the rivalry. This is what it's all about for Bucks fans. It's going to set the tone for at least the next month or so, whether the Bucks can knock off the Saints. Now, the Bucks have a bunch of injuries, Ira. It got bad in a hurry. Or scary in a hurry since our last podcast. Leonard Fournette with a hamstring injury that we saw on TV, but they didn't make too much of it because Lenny seemed okay. But we did see him pull up. And now we know about Chris Godwin. We know about Gage. But then Julio Jones appears with a knee injury. Week two, he's already knee injury, not practicing. Rashad Perriman's got a knee issue. He's limited. Donovan Smith, we know, with the elbow. But that's a lot of guys on an offense that wasn't exactly clicking the other night on all cylinders and didn't exactly have a ton of time together this summer completely. It's a little scary, Ira, but on the flip side, I'll throw it to you, Sage. The Saints have a lot of injuries themselves. Alvin Kamara didn't practice. Bad ribs. Jameis Winston's got a bad back. He's been limited all week. They've got other guys banged up, big names. So what's your thought right now, Ira, about the magnitude of this game?
Steve, it's very interesting. I've got the injury report up on my screen. I'm surprised that one screen can hold all these people. Now, Lee, I don't want to read too much into it, but I'm thinking maybe Todd Bowles is the type of guy, a la Bill Belichick, that puts everybody and his mother on an injury report. Tristan Wirfs, limited abdomen. I'm not worried about Tristan Wirfs. I ain't worried about Tristan Wirfs. Leonard Fournette, hamstring. He's going to play. Mike Evans, calf. He's going to play because Marshawn Lattimore is looking to get into his head again. And Mike Evans has a lot to prove in the Superdome. Tom Brady didn't participate on Wednesday. Okay, that's his off day. Now, I'll say this. When Julio Jones didn't practice on Wednesday, that didn't bother me. And it shouldn't bother Buck fans. But Lee, when he comes back and doesn't practice on Thursday, and they list knee, you know, I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned. And Steve's right. I mean, Cameron Jordan's got a hip. He's limited. He's been a big part of the Saints' success. Guys, I'll open this rivalry talk like this. Lee, every time I think that the Bucs are going to bounce back strong after another loss to the Saints, like Brady's first game, they lost. And then the second time around, I thought the Bucs were going to whip them in Tampa. And they didn't, Lee. And they didn't. And then last year, they lose the first game to the Saints. And I figure the Bucs are going to take care of them at home. And Lee, they turned in one of the worst performances you and I have ever seen by a Buccaneer team. And that sounds crazy, but I think it's reasonable to say it. Tom Brady got shut out, Lee, at home. How the hell does that happen? So I'm over talking about motivation for the Bucs. It hasn't worked, Lee. It just hasn't worked, except for that playoff game where I think arguably they didn't even outplay the Saints in that game. So this is a one-sided rivalry at this time, Lee, and I don't even know if you can call it a rivalry unless the Bucs get their heads out of their butts.
Wasn't that what Todd Bowles said? It's not a rivalry when you keep getting your rear end kicked?
Yeah, yeah.
This injury report, I'm suspicious. Well, first off, I can't remember who typed it. It's somewhere on joebucksfan.com. It's in the comments. Some guy, and I understand why fans are frustrated. It's the second week. All these guys are allegedly hurt. What the hell's going on? And this guy said, you know what? This is a hell of an advertisement for Advent Healthcare. And you know what? I'm going to derisively, when I'm upset about the injuries, I'm going to derisively remind people that the Buccaneers are being trained at the Advent Healthcare Training Facility. And I emphasize the word derisively. For those who don't know what that is, that means bitterly sarcastic. So all these guys are getting injured at the Advent Healthcare Facility. So that's where you want to go to make sure you're injured. That's where you want to go. All right, that's number one. Number two, the fact that Tristan Wirfs is on the injury report, I almost fell off my couch because I was joking around with Tristan Wirfs today. After practice, in the locker room, he didn't even look like he had a hangnail.
Absolutely right.
And I'm going to say this about Leonard Fournette. Supposedly playoff Lenny has an injured hamstring. He never had his leg wrapped up after the game Sunday night. He didn't have his leg wrapped up in the locker room today. He was joking around, laughing, looked like he had a good time. Didn't look like anybody injured to me. So it's starting to smell like Bowles is playing around with the injury report, i.e. Bill Parcells. He learns from the master.
We're going to find out, Steve, on Sunday just how legitimate some of these injury reports are. Now, there are injuries, as there are every year, but if there's more than usual around the league, early in the season. I'm going to go back to what Derek Brooks said, Steve, on the Identity Tampa 2 last week, and he made a big point about it. Derek Brooks, he calls himself old school. He admits it. But, Steve, guys that don't play at all in the preseason or very, very little, maybe one series in three preseason games, Brooks says they're not in football shape, Steve. There is shape and football shape. And they're not ready to go. And I think we saw it, Steve, an indication of it, with some of these teams that came out absolutely flat in week one. Steve, four teams scored 10 points or less, including the Packers, the Cowboys, the Niners. I mean, what's going on here? The Rams, they didn't look ready to play, Steve. So, you know, for everybody that says, oh, you got to protect your players in August and you want them ready to go, it's a fine balance, Steve, and I think you pay a little bit of a price for not playing some guys in the preseason.
This was a subject Sean Sullivan and I, Sean Sullivan, our good buddy, general manager at Bill Curry Ford, him and I go round and round about this. I would rather see my players, my team, look sluggish but have everybody on the field than look sharp and have your stars on crutches.
It is a fine line, but Bowles made the decision that these starters were not going to play, basically. And then he gave them a series or two at Indy. And the Buck offense looked a little sluggish, Steve.
Sage, the teams you just mentioned, you rattled off five or six teams there. All of them have a lot of new receivers, or in San Francisco's case, had a brand new quarterback. And the Bucks, you can put them in the category of new targets. And as well, so, or guys coming off injury, just not a lot of work together necessarily. If you look at the guys that were out there, most of the snaps. So, you know, that's part of it too. It's a chicken and egg thing. I heard what Brooks said talking about, hey, you know, to barely play and then run these guys out there for 60 snaps on defense, 70 snaps, you know, that's a problem. And he's right. Except, you know, you got to look at the snaps they get in these joint practices when, if they go 2 days in a row. But it's still not the same level of hitting. It's not even close. And the preseason, I mean, there's just no way to do it right and be perfect. You just have to find a way to manage it through the season. Obviously, the Bucks have done a fantastic job. They're on a 23-5 run. That will never lose my vision that they're 23-5. These are the glory days, and they're doing something right. But you know, you don't want to lose opening day. I don't care who you are. And that can be very important for a franchise, but it's less important for a team like the Bucks, that is the oldest in the league, which came out. You know, they do those numbers for opening day. And, you know, they should know how to win and get strong by December and January when they need to get hot like they did a couple of years ago. So, I don't know. It's tough, though.
Hey, guys, I got a quick little nugget for both of you gentlemen. While Steve was talking about snap counts, guys, I looked up Vita Vea. Here's the numbers. Week one in Dallas, 61% of the defensive snaps, 42. And Lee, he played 8 snaps on special teams. 8 snaps, 33% of special teams. But he's up to 61%. Now, that's only week one, Lee.
That's a good sign.
It's a good sign. Yeah, it's
the jury's still out. We'll see where it goes. Yeah, he always plays special teams, Ira, so that's just always a thing for him. But the 61, I believe Hicks had almost the exact same amount. And, of course, they had a big lead. I mean, it was good. Look, the defense has come out very healthy, which is really exciting because they were so darn good. So these injuries that we're talking about are on offense. For me, what's most disturbing is that they are all on one side of the ball.
I heard something interesting yesterday. I wrote it up. It came from Luke Getteke. And Getteke played in every preseason game. And I asked him about anything surprised you, you know, week one at Dallas. And he said, the speed. Well, if that surprised him week one, that means that preseason games, guys weren't that quick. I just thought that was very, very interesting.
You know, you got better players. Better players are playing in the regular season than on August 17th. But Getteke acquitted himself very well.
They played extremely well. We talked about that in the last podcast. Make it 2 in a row. You know, Lee wrote something about that. You know, let's see 2 in a row. And they do 3 in a row. No one's going to worry about them. You know, it'll sort of mean that they found their place. So All signs are great there. Are the Bucks going to run the ball, pound the ball a lot, Ira? Kristen Wirfs in the locker room earlier this week said that basically that's what slows the pass rush. And they need it slowed down because of Tom Brady, because this line is not a pass blocking line necessarily that we know of yet. We haven't seen enough sample size, and all that crowd noise sometimes makes you a little slower off the line as an offensive lineman. I mean, you know that they're praying that they can run the ball a little bit if they have to lean on it. What do you think we're going to see there, Ira?
Well, Brooks made a very interesting point, Lee, and he's got the facts to back him up, because we've seen all these 7-game regular season winning streak by the Saints, and we've watched all these games. And by the way, Lee, the last time the Bucks beat the Saints in the regular season, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick went crazy in the 2018 opener. I mean, that's a long time ago, while Winston was serving a suspension. Brooks's point, Lee, and it's hard to argue, and I don't quite know how they do it, but they get a heck of a pass rush on the Bucks, whether it's Winston in 2019 or Brady the last 2 years, with the 4-man line and not blitzing very much, Lee. They don't blitz the heck out of the Bucks. And now look, Cam Jordan is a very good player. I don't know if he's going to Canton, but he's a very good player. He's 33 years old, and he's got quite a body of work. Davenport can do some damage. They've had some decent defensive tackles. But Lee, for whatever reason, the Saints defensive line bullies the Buck offense. You saw my column the other day, Lee, in these 5 games, it includes the playoff game when the Bucks scored 30 points. Lee, they're averaging less than 17 points against the New Orleans Saints with Tom Brady under center. Now, that's not a traditional Brady number. Lee, he's got 8 touchdowns and 8 picks. That's not Brady. He hasn't played well. Mike Evans, how many times can we say it, Lee? He doesn't show up against the Saints. Until that changes, this could continue to be a one-sided rivalry. They got to get their offense unshackled here.
Ira, you used a verb that really, I think, hits home. You hit the perfect nail on the head. Perfect word. Bully. The defensive line of the Saints has been bullying the Bucks, not just one game. And I had heard months ago that when the Bucks, you sit down in the offseason, a team does, and they want to craft their team. Every team, every year, they want to mold their team to play a certain way for that particular season. The Bucks wanted to emphasize physicality because they thought they were getting pushed, and in retrospect, they thought they were getting pushed around more than they could just swallow, so to speak. And so bullied was the perfect word. I was speaking with someone on the Buccaneers staff at the team hotel Saturday, and I kind of mentioned how, I thought Luke Goedeke was sort of like in the mold of Ryan Jensen. That he wasn't going to back down from anybody. In fact, he was going to impose his will on people. And this particular person, when I said that, he's like, "Ooh," and he let out an expletive that I can't repeat on this family podcast. And the guy totally agreed with me and basically was telling me, "You have no idea." In other words, what I said was very much an understatement in this guy's eyes. And I think that one reason they drafted Goedeke, they being light, was he was not going to be bullied. If anything, he was going to be doing the bullying. And so I think you really bring up something very interesting there, Ira. That's spot on.
Steve, you know what it reminds me of? Now, look, it's not an exact parallel, but, the three of us go back a long way with this franchise. So I'm going to push you back 22 years. Steve, it reminds me a little bit when the Eagles had the Bucks number in the early, 2000 and 2001 playoffs, when the Bucks barely showed up and didn't really compete offensively against the Eagles and got eliminated 2 straight years before 2002 showed up. They were bullied by the Eagles' defensive front. And I'll add one more thing, Steve. After the Bucks shut down the vet in decisive manner, the celebration was raucous in the Buck locker room. Of course, it was 9 degrees that day. And I happened to see Rich McKay, Steve, and we were talking about the game. And the first thing McKay said, we finally blocked Hugh Douglas. That's the first thing he said. We found a way to block Hugh Douglas. Hugh Douglas was causing havoc blindside. Brad Johnson's not a mover. And he thought that was the key to the game. I think Lee's right. Gedeky's physicality really appealed to Light and the scouts. And maybe they had the Saints in mind, Steve. We'll see. That crowd noise could be a factor, Steve, where maybe it wasn't in Arlington. We shall see. But they got to do something to slow down this Saints defensive front.
Speaking of bullying, Ira, it's a great point. And you don't want to get bullied by your insurance company if you have a disaster in your home, especially if it's a big disaster this time of year. We've got all eyes on the tropics for hurricane season. That's why you need to have Florida's Elite Restoration at your side, in your phone, on your computer, immediately if you have any disaster in your home, flood, fire, mold, water damage, whatever it might be, that's your first phone call. And Joe Bucks fan readers and Ira Kaufman podcast listeners, when you call Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7 for your free assessment of what's happening in your property, let them know where you heard about it, and they're going to give you a $500 discount or money back if you end up using their services. Fantastic offer. Maybe that's $500 for your deductible on an insurance claim, or just $500 off a repair that needs to be done, or some mold mitigation after a flood. So floridaselite restoration.com, that's where you go. They're family owned. Owner Josh Martin, huge Bucks fan, and he will consult with you. And they service the entire Tampa Bay area, and they're growing because they're doing such a great job. You need somebody honest that you can trust. Sage has talked about them a million times. We love them. floridaselite restoration.com. Have that in your head, in your phone, on your fridge when that disaster comes.
It should be a very physical game, Ira. I think that's one thing that's hurting Sean Murphy bunting. You know, Todd Bowles jumped on his team-sponsored radio show this week, and he was asked about Murphy bunting, and he talked about how the reason he gave was that, hey, we had three guys out there completely interchangeable. Logan Ryan, Mike Edwards, Antoine Winfield, they can all play nickel, they can all play safety, they all play all the different safety positions, and that allows me to just do all kinds of things and confuse the quarterback. And Bowles has got to be loving that. I don't know if any coach has ever had that in a long time, where you got three guys completely interchangeable. And Derek Brooks, he cut himself short, Ira, when he was talking to you on your show, saying he wanted to explain what the Bucks were doing, but he's like, I don't want to get into the film stuff too deep. But those guys are also, all three of them are physical, and Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis are more physical corners than Sean Murphy Bunting, who at this point, I'm not saying he's soft, but he's pretty much out of the loop right now in a lot of ways. And, you know, we talked about how that speaks to the depth. But going to the physicality, Ira, I think they're going to have to find targets. And some of that might come to us seeing Kyle Rudolph for the first time. He's going to need some quick outlets, some guys who know how to get open in a hurry. You know, Cam Brate, and still no separation in that game that I saw. He's a good player. And he's valuable, and they like him. Tom Brady trusts him, but I think we're going to see Rudolph active.
I saw Brady on one play. Brady couldn't link up with him. I saw Brady get really open on a pass route in the flat. Now, I don't know if that was Brady's bad pass. I don't know if Brady was late getting there. But I did see Brady break free on one particular play, because I remember I had my binoculars on him. He was open, but I just don't know if if he was late getting there or it was a bad throw from Brady.
Steve, you make an excellent point about the versatility of the secondary with those three guys. And listening, you know, sitting, 2 feet away from Derek Brooks, you're right. He cut himself short, Steve, but he couldn't help himself to talk about the confusion that the Todd Bowles defense was causing. Brooks reveled in it. You know, the different looks that they were giving Prescott. Prescott's not a rookie. Lee's been around. And he said that Prescott was totally confused. Lee, I think Bowles is having a field day with these guys in the secondary.
I was listening to Michael Lombardi's podcast. He was saying when you compare the Cowboys and the Bucks, he said what he likes to do is compare coordinators. And he said to him, now, to be fair, Lombardi's a huge Todd Bowles guy. And I think that's because of their Parcells connections. But Lombardi said, when you match up Todd Bowles and Kellen Moore, that's a massive mismatch. He said Kellen Moore doesn't know how to adjust. He said every game, the first series that Dak Prescott has is very good. After that, it's lousy. And he says that's because Kellen Moore can't adjust.
To be fair, Steve, to Kellen Moore, I don't think he's got enough material to work with in the passing game. The Bucs took CeeDee Lamb out of the game, and Dallas had no other options. They got a decent tight end. And Michael Gallup, I told the Mad Dog the other day, and everybody in Dallas is waiting for Michael Gallup. Guess what? He ain't Cooper Kupp, Steve. He ain't Cooper Kupp. So
I got to ask Steve something here. Your article, Steve, about Tristan Wirfs, or you mentioned that Tristan Wirfs has kryptonite. It's Cam Jordan. That surprised me. I never considered Cam Jordan as kryptonite.
Consistently beats him. And Wirfs has talked about it openly.
First game.
I know. He's had great games against him last year as well. I think he had two or three sacks last year on Brady in that final game.
Wow, I always considered Khalil Mack to be his kryptonite.
No.
He actually overpowered, Steve. He overpowered Wirfs on one of those sacks. You don't see that. You just don't see that.
Yeah, I've heard.
Cam Jordan or
Cam Jordan overpowered Wirfs on one of those sacks, if I remember right. He just, yeah.
Yeah.
He gave him a bull rush. He did the bull rush. And nobody overpowers Tristan.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that before. I do remember Khalil Mack just absolutely flipped and body slammed Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, that and Wirfs said, it looked with that one. He said, it looked a little worse than it was because I was off balance, kind of thing. But Jordan, he is really the biggest power edge rusher in the game at this point. You can't put Calais Campbell in that category anymore. So you've got, this guy's 290, 295, which is what he came out in the draft, going wild, and he's got all the moves. So, Wirfs talks about just that it's tough for him because he's not used to that level of power, and he's got to change up. So it's a huge thing that they're going to have to account for, Ira, and that pass rush, although I still come back to watching the Saints last Sunday, and they were just bad. So, it's going to be crazy, Ira, that secondary has really got to hone in. If they can keep the disguises going and which worked so well, I mean, they got to be hoping that they can, get Jameis Winston into an interception or two if there's enough pass rush to make him anxious.
There were two daunting results out of the Saints game for Buck Nation. One, the Saints won a game they had no business winning. But a close second, guys, and I mean close. Michael Thomas might be back. He might be back. And that's really bad news. I don't care how much flexibility Todd Bowles has in this secondary. Michael Thomas rips this team a new one every time he's healthy against the Bucs. He kills this team late. 9 catches, 10 catches, 140, 170. That's what he does. Now, I don't know if this is prime Michael Thomas, but he scored twice last week. Lee Jarvis Landry showed up, and they got your guy Olave, who was quiet, but, it's only week one. My point, they got much more firepower in the passing game than the Dallas Cowboys. More.
Oh, yes, sir. I agree with that. No question.
Oh, yeah. They got way more firepower. Messy as hell offensive line right now. They're down their left tackle, too, but I got to bring this up, Sage. I was saving it for a while, and it was very interesting. I was surprised that he actually said it. But Jameis did this podcast that Cam Jordan and Mark Ingram have a podcast called Trust Levels. They get players on there. We'll talk next week about Levante David's appearance. I know some Bucks fans probably cringed seeing Levante David sit down with the enemy for an hour and a half and talk about all kinds of things. They even put him on the whiteboard, Ira, which was interesting. David's done a ton of media in the last couple of years for him, doing these player podcasts and other things. But Sage, Jameis sat down and he said that he would never disrespect his Bucks teammates. He loves them. And he talked about how Mike Evans, people underestimate that how great he is and that he's truly, a Hall of Fame player and one of the greats in the game still. But he said, I wish I could have took the Bucks to that level that happened the next year after he was cut, after they didn't re-sign him. Like, I still get motivated by that. That's something I wanted to build and to see it happen. It made me really more hungry. And he went on to say the losses in Tampa taught me more about me than I ever really understood in my life. And interesting, he said that he got more focused when he got to New Orleans. He was only thinking about winning, not money or other things. And not that he wasn't focused with the Bucks, but he really believed that he was realized he had to be more focused in New Orleans. Which, what do you think of all of that?
You know, Lee, I always go back, always, because I thought it was just a moment that changes everything. And I mean everything. And Lee, I can't help it. I always go back to those last two games of 2019. Lee, here's the scenario. The Bucks are 7-7, Arian's first year. He's thrown a bunch of picks, but they're 7-7. Now, they're playing two games at home, Lee, against mediocre teams at best. They got a chance to finish 9-7. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they can be 9-7 and build some momentum for 2020. And Lee, we all know what happened. We all know what happened. You know, Winston reverted to a bad Winston, made some terrible decisions, the last of his 30 interceptions, those last two games. And what happened? Arian started looking at door number two. I don't think he would have, Lee. I don't think Jason Light and Arians would have been in a hurry to dump Winston. I think they would have brought him back, Lee. Now, we'll never know. Then he has to sit behind Drew Brees. He throws 11 passes, Lee, in 2020. 11. And then he's playing well as Lee. He's 6-2 as a New Orleans Saint. I mean, that's a heck of a lot better than he was as a Buccaneer. Huge fourth quarter last week. It's got to give the team more confidence in Winston, more confidence in himself. You know, I think the Bucs are catching the Saints at the wrong time here, in my opinion.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I agree. How much was it, you know, we're learning more. As time evolves, we learn more. And I know you've been on the two games, you know, those two games dictated what happened with Winston. And you've also said that after that Detroit game, his last year with the Bucks, that he was almost a cinch to stay. He lit up the Lions. Like, they had like 400 and some yards. How much of it was those two games, and how much of it was Brady's interested in the Bucks? Because Brady and his agent, Don Yee, tells the Bucks in early February or late January, we have no desire to come play for the Bucks. What's the chances of Jameis remaining?
We're never going to know, Lee, but I'm going to say this. From a Buck mindset, from the executive suite, and I can just hear Isbitz waiting to grab the microphone and disagree with me. But I'll say this. I think the feeling was, Steve, going into the last two games of 19, that Winston was turning the corner. Steve, I think ownership, the general manager, and the coaching staff thought they could win with Winston and be a perennial playoff team. He was still a young quarterback, and that he gets it, even with all those interceptions and the pick sixes earlier in the season. And, Steve, it all got shattered. Two terrible losses games. They had no business losing. The Bucks had a talented team, Steve, in 2019. They were talented. It wasn't like they had bums everywhere. Godwin was on that team. They had Ed, they had Evans. They had people. Steve, I don't think the mindset would have been pushing that hard for, you know, 43-year-old Tom Brady. Now it's Tom Brady, but Steve, Tom Brady, it didn't end well for him in New England, and some people thought he was through. But once you make the decision, we can't win with Winston, then all bets are off.
I'll say this, Ira, a few things. As Lee said, we're learning more as time goes on. So I think following that theme, Byron Leftwich said during his sit-down on the Pivot podcast last month that one of his greatest regrets, if not his greatest regret in coaching, was only having 8 or 9 months with Jameis. And I thought they were really progressing, and he really liked Jameis, and he was very earnest in saying, you know, he didn't say, I wish we kept him. Obviously, he wouldn't go be that insane. But he did say it was clear that he was in Jameis's corner, and I had heard that previously, but to hear it from Leftwich is a different story. And Clyde Christensen was a Jameis guy as well. I think it comes back to the big guy. Bruce Arians made the call, just saying, this guy doesn't have it. We have to look around. But I think the nuance is, as we've learned recently, Tom Brady, he was going to Vegas. Tom Brady, he wanted to go play in San Francisco. So why did the Bucks think they would
eat?
Yeah, well, then the Miami thing as well. So the question is, why would the Bucks have thought we're going to get him. They wanted him. I'm sure they expressed and made their case very well. And who knows what's going on behind the scenes, but I'm not sure they really believed that they could have gotten Brady, since they probably knew that they were not top dogs in that fight. So, but they were still looking around, and they clearly weren't, they didn't have an offer on the table to Jameis that they pulled or anything like that. So we're never going to know for sure, but it seems like, if I had to guess, I'd say Bruce Arians said, nope, I don't think we can win a Super Bowl with this guy. We got to at least look around. And I don't know if everybody agreed in the organization, but I think it was driven by Arians.
I think you're right, Steve. Arians drove the bus on that, and as he should. He had the biggest voice. And it wasn't like, Ed Bryan and Joel Glazer were going to disagree with Arians, because I think, they had had enough Winston at that point, Lee. When the season ended, they're 7-9. They thought they had better talent than a 7-9 finish. But as Parcells said, you are what your record says. And they thought 7-9 was unacceptable for that roster. Steve's right, Lee. When Arians said, Lee, in late February, we're going to look at door number two. And then, Lee, you mentioned Tom Brady by name, right, Lee, in Indy. I believe he did mention Brady by name.
I think we'd be naive to believe that they had zero contact with Brady's people at that point.
Lee, I think Steve's point is right. At that point, I don't think Light and the Glazers and Arians had full confidence that they were going to be able to corral Brady. Not at that point, Lee.
Do you keep Jameis, or do you roll the dice and try to lure Brady? I think they decided to roll the dice.
Yeah, smart move. Exactly. They decided to roll the dice. And just to put a bow on that, Ira, as you like to say, I think what happened, especially within the organization, you know that when the Bucs got to 7-7 that season after the big win Lee talked about, they got to 7-7. They're playing the Texans on a Saturday, national television, NFL Network, Rich Eisen's calling the game, the whole thing. You know that they pitched in that locker room endlessly. This is the playoffs. Playoffs start now. This is a playoff game. This is our first home playoff game. We got to knock these guys off. And we win two in a row here. We're going to the big dance. And he came out, he threw three picks in the first half. My guess is that Arians just looked at that and was just like, I can't stomach it. I can't do it. So
wasn't the score tied at halftime?
In that game, the score was tied at halftime. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what I think. I'm just thinking of what Arians was thinking. That's all.
And then Lee, the way the season ended, the final snap of the final game. You can't draw. You can't even write something like that.
If you can could.
There you go. All right, Ira, look, it's week two. We've dissected week one, and we've all been shopping for vehicles at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com, and we're going to make our picks here, Sage, and we're going to remind everybody, as they heard, it's storm season, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Write it on your hand if you have to. Maybe put it on the refrigerator like Ira does, so he knows he'll see it seven times a day. That's who you call if there's a disaster in your home, flood, fire, mold, Florida'sElitereStoration.com.
I was following their truck going up the tollway, coming nice. Home from one buck.
Nice.
There you go. There you go. But Sage,
Steve,
hold
on, Steve. I'd like to add something to Bill Curry of Ford.com. Steve, I brought the cherry red Escape in for service. They diagnosed a small problem, which they fixed quickly. They are very busy in that service department, but I have to add, they're also very organized. They know what they're doing over there. Their mechanics are very good. They move you in and out. I got to give special thanks to Nicole. I don't know if she listens to this podcast. I even mentioned her to Sean Sullivan. He goes, I just promoted her. I said, Sean, that's a good move. She's very confident. So that service department, and Lee, you know that, they're spending a lot of money and totally refurbishing it. They might have 70 bays by this time next year. Who's got that? And they know what they're doing over there.
All right. The Sage has spoken. And Ira, you pick the order of the picks. We're going to make our picks.
I'll go second.
You'll go second. Well, pick. You want me first? Or you want Lee first?
Lee's going first.
Yeah, hey, let's get the bat out of the way. Until the Bucks can beat the Saints, they can't beat the Saints. I there's a reason why they've won so many games in a row. They have their number. And with all these receivers being hurt now, that doesn't give me any confidence. I'm going Saints. And I know I was wrong last week. Thank goodness I was wrong. I don't want to be right when I pick the Bucs to lose. But right now, everything's pointing Saints. They've got the Bucs number. They're in the Bucs' heads. You throw in all these dinged up receivers, that's not a good sign. Donovan Smith, we don't know about. I don't know. I'm just throwing it up against the wall here. 24-17 Saints. I wanna believe in the Bucs, but the Bucs give me no reason to believe they could beat the Saints.
You had some very famous company last week in picking the home team in Arlington, because Derek Brooks also picked the Cowboys. A fact which I did not hesitate to remind him when we did the identity this week, and he showed up with his 55 jersey for Victory Tuesday.
And that ugly Jameis Winston jersey.
Yeah, I said, you got a lot of nerve, Derek. A lot of nerve after you pick the Cowboys. Steve, I'm going to set you up on a platter. I picked the Bucs last week. I'm with Lee. Until the Saints can prove that they can't beat the Bucs, they own them. Sean Payton, who is not exactly a Karnak the Magnificent, did say something that means something. He said, the Saints are not scared of the Bucs, and they know they can beat the Bucs. And not a lot of teams can say that with that kind of confidence. Donovan Smith, that injury scares me. I don't care how well the left guard and the center plays. I got to have the left tackle protecting Brady. Steve, if Brady thought he was roughed up against the Cowboys, well, let's see what he says late Sunday afternoon. I think the Saints have enough on offense. Kamara, funny enough, has really been no factor. So I'm not looking at Kamara, but I am looking at Thomas, Olave, Landry, Winston. I think the Saints can scrape enough points together. Steve, I will go with 23-20 home team Saints.
All right, Sage, you will be watching this game with fans at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. It's just south of Ulmerton Road. Beautiful outdoor seating. 1 o'clock kickoff. Sage will roll in about 12:15. A lot of Bucs fans. Great time right there at Big Storm in Clearwater. All right, Ira, look.
Can I have a caveat to my prediction?
No. Yeah, of course.
If the Bucs win, a certain someone will have no less than 75 yards rushing. That certain someone is Snake Vaughn.
Whoa. That's a high
reason why I say that is, one of the reasons why I think the Saints are going to win, because I think the Bucs receivers are banged up, and they're going to need them. But if the Bucs win, that tells me their rushing attack, they're playing ground and pound ball. Playoff Lenny is dinged up, allegedly. He sure didn't look like it in the locker room both today and Sunday night. But if they beat the Saints, it's going to be because they're pounding the ball. And I don't think Rashad White is a ground and pound kind of running back. I think Sneak Vaughn is.
How you going to top that, Isbitz?
All right, I'm gonna make it really short because we're running long. Saints 19, Bucs 17. Sage, I can't pick the Bucs knowing all these injuries on offense. I don't know who's going to pop in or who's not. And the special teams do scare me, Ira. They scare me to the point where Jake Camarda there, the new punter, it looked like he was ripe to have a punt block there. I don't know if he gets that straightened out, but the Saints always have great special teams. I really didn't like how I know it's he made 4 out of 5, but you got to make 5 out of 5 from short distance. I didn't like Suckup missing that kick there in that game, pulling it left. And add up the injuries, Ira, and I just think the Bucs might not have enough firepower here. And mistakes happen in the dome with the sound, so I'm leaving it there. 19-17, another great, great showing by the Bucs defense, but it's not enough.
All three of us picked the home team. Wow.
All right, Ira, I'm sad, and I hope I would be able to inject a caveat here, but we don't have another podcast. If the injury report looks good on Saturday, I would go with the Bucs, but I can't do it today, Sage. What's your final thought? Because we're out of here, Ira.
All right, quick. I hope we're all wrong, all three of us. I hope we go 0-3 on Sunday. And speaking of Sunday, Lee, I'll go out on this note. I'm looking forward to being in Big Storm Clearwater, 49th Street, a little south of Ulmerton. 1 o'clock kickoff, and ready to reminisce with a bunch of friends. Great time over at Big Storm. See you Sunday.